Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future. They are providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. I'm very excited to welcome back the diverse and talented actor, Travis McCann. He is best known as Bird in Miss Fisher, Murder Mysteries. He's also got a part in Miss Fisher and The Crypt of Tears. But he's been doing a lot of shows for a long time. He did Last Man Standing, Good Guys, Bad Guys, 39th Battalion. And his latest show is called Rams, which looks really cool. This is a recorded show, so please don't call in. Here's Travis. Hi, Travis. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sherry. Nice to talk to you again.
It's been a long time.
I know. We can have a little laugh about it, can't we? What 3 years just got away from us.
Yeah. I mean, just like, poof, time flies.
Yeah, it does.
I know I'm not allowed to give anything away, but it's pretty well known you are in the Miss Fisher movie. I know it's a small bit, but are you excited about that?
Well, I am excited because there are so many people that, you know, have a great fondness for the series and for everyone involved to take it to the next level and do a movie. I'm really, you know, excited for everyone that gets to just sort of enter back into that world and see what we've all created. And yes, the core Melbourne cast just pop up for a scene because most of the film is set in different parts around the world. So it was nice to be able to come in and do a scene with the old regulars, and we had a great day shooting and a lot of laughs it's not a big scene, but we made it into the movie, so we're all happy about that.
I have seen the movie. I went to the Palm Springs Film Festival, and you were all wonderful. Do you have any behind-the-scenes things that you, any cute story that you had that happened while you were together?
Well, it was just as I said, there was a lot of laughs. I mean, it was a night shoot, and it was rainy, and we were just standing around some gas heaters and just sort of reminiscing a little bit, because it's been a couple of years, I guess, since we've been on set with season three, and just such good people and a good crew, and to be working on a show that is and well received, it was just a good feeling to be back and have a few laughs again.
I think that's really cool. I mean, it's always like a reunion, right? To see people you haven't seen in 3 years.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, I catch up with Anthony when I'm in Melbourne, who plays Tess, so we try and catch up and tell some stories and have a laugh, because you end up in different parts of the country or chasing work over in the States. Everyone's sort of all over the place, so to get us all together and back in that world, and to pull the old hat on and roll a little cigarette there, and it was just it was just a good feeling to go to enter back into the world.
How did it feel to play Bird again?
Well, great. It was just like it's sort of strange. You get into the costume truck and just pull it back on, and it feels so familiar because you those many days over three seasons where you pull that costume on, and you're a little bit apprehensive because it's the time has passed, and you go, will it be the same? Will it be believable? Have I changed a lot? And without sitting there and watching old eps and trying to mimic it or anything, you just pull it on, and it just feels like a very well worn part of yourself. Once you look at yourself in the mirror with a costume on and you get around the world again, it very quickly comes back to you.
That's really cool. So, so the people that you haven't seen other than Anthony, did you like chat and any catching up and everything like that with everybody else?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, obviously Essie was there for the scene, and no, Essie wasn't there for that scene. But she'd worked earlier in the day on another scene because, you know, we cut back to Melbourne in the movie. But you know, Hugo and Ashley were in our scene, so it was good to see them and have them around. And then I was in Melbourne for a cast and crew screening pre the opening. So, you know, a lot of the Melbourne crew were there for that night, so we could watch the movie and have a couple of beers, which was great also, because you don't get to see everyone when you turn up for a particular scene when it's a long day and they've shot other stuff. So it was between the two dates of shooting and then going to the cast and crew, it was a great reunion.
I know you've been busy doing other stuff. You've been doing like TV shows and movies and stuff like that. You want to chat about that and tell us about it?
Yeah, since the end of the series, I've worked on a few movie projects, and one that was due for release, well, was rumored to be releasing end of May, but I'm not sure whether that's going to be pushed back in terms of the current circumstances. But that is called Rams, and that was shot in South Western Australia, and it's the story. I guess it's a story about two brothers who have had a long feuding brothers who are sheep farmers. And I guess it's the story about them, how they deal with that after a disaster sort of strikes the local community in regards to the flocks of sheep. And it centres also around some, you know, all the boys that are the sheep farmers take particular pride in their rams, and they have a ram show each year. And so it's a good family story about groups of sheep farmers.
Well, I think that's really interesting because it's like an area that people don't know about, and also it's about family, which everybody knows about.
Yeah, well, that's right, and it was nice getting to a different part of Australia, which I hadn't been to for a long time, down in the southwest, which is beautiful. And the local community really took us in and looked after us there around a place called Mount Barker, and worked with some great people and got to see another part of the country. So you can never complain when you're offered those sort of opportunities. It's one of the things I love about working in this industry.
Yeah. Is it set in this era, or is it in a different time period?
No, it's a contemporary story. Yeah, it's a contemporary story. So, I think I still had a hat on, but of a different era. It was like I went to Cap this time.
You've
got to have a hat. Costumes all fit to put a hat on me, I think, because my hair was so wild. Yeah, very different look to Bert. It's just a lot longer. So, I mean, we've got to control that mop. So let's give him a cap, that sheep farmer.
I think it's funny. Are you the type of actor who works the outside in, like your clothes help you create your character? Or do you do a combination of like pre-work and then the clothes help bring it even further along?
Yeah, well, definitely the pre-work and probably the inside, really. It's a slow process. As soon as you start looking into the world, the time you're going to be trying to portray a character from, and just spend a lot of time with the script, lots of reads of the script, and let it sort of organically, slowly sort of infuse to some sort of feel. Because quite often the costume part can be quite very late in the process. You come in, you know, you're going to do the job along. Hopefully, it's not always the case. Sometimes you can be called up and be, you know, heading on to set a few days later. So all the rhythms are different, and you just tend to do the best you can with what you're presented with. But I definitely like to spend a lot of time with the script before going and playing dress up, so to speak.
I love hearing how the different techniques of acting are, you know, how people get into their characters. I think it's really fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And I think when it comes down to it, it's just finding a way to believe it yourself. And everyone needs to do that differently, because once when you set up, and you can be under a little bit of pressure sometimes. I mean, not the sort of pressure that, you know, real world pressures that a lot of people have to face. We're still playing dress ups, but as the day gets on and there's a lot of people around and time's running out, you've got to come up with what you've prepared. So, I don't know. You find a way to believe it, and then hopefully that transforms to what's recorded and is enjoyable for people that get to watch the finished product.
It's really cool to see the different characters, person. Like when you're a good guy in one movie and you're a bad guy in another, or you're a totally different type of character in a third, and it's the same actor, and it's the chameleon type thing that happens. Like Essie, she's perfect at that. She's just such a chameleon.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Do you have a way? Do you have a method?
Well, I don't think there's a particular way or method. I think it's just like some jobs, you trust your instinct, a combination of your instinct and your intellect to work out how best to approach a project in order for not only myself to believe it, but for you to believe it. So it can be very different, and some of the ways, they can be. It's just different for every job, I guess. It's what I'm trying to say. I mean, in a recent shoot for a television show back in Australia called Informer 38, I play a guy that's inside who's been put away for very bad things, and. This story is about a criminal barrister turned police informant that was a true story in Australia. And it's getting a lot of press heat at the moment because a lot of the stories are coming out, and who okayed that to turn a barrister into a police informant. Anyway, so I had to do a few scenes of this guy who's been let out from, you know, his cell, and he's done some terrible things, and you know, I sit down with that script and go, well, how do I wrap my head around that? And to be honest, I don't really know how I did it. You just spend time with the script and by yourself, and you find a way in. Yeah,
that's really.
I think that's
really
just part of being an artist and having an all about the imagination. I mean, you're still playing dress ups. It's about imagining. But when you're a kid, playing with lots of toys.
Yeah, that's true. And it's interesting, isn't it, how a movie or a TV show can ignite a conversation over something that happened, even if it was like 10 or 20 years ago. It just, like, there was a movie, I think it was a cable movie that was about a scandal here in the States, and it just started all the controversy all over again about it.
Right.
It's like the art is reflecting reality, and then reality is reflecting the art. It's just interesting.
And it's nice to be able, I think, for production companies. Well, it's fantastic to be able to take on these projects and explore it and allow people that mightn't have spent the time to read and possibly learn about certain events to give them the opportunity to spend time with it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think it's really, really interesting. Is this something that might be like shown in the States, like Acorn or Brit TV or one of those streaming services or something so that we may get to see it?
Well, yeah. Well, I'm hoping for some of these projects to be shown over here. I mean, Rams should be on a fairly wide release, but as I said, we don't even really know dates, so I don't know much about distribution or anything, and that's, you know, I've just been hired as an actor for these projects, so we'll see what happens, but I hope we can get some distribution over here. There's another couple of film projects that I've worked on since the show. One called How Do You Know Chris, which is a movie about the character of Chris Black. He throws a party, so it's a small film set in predominantly just his place, but there are a lot of people from his past that he hasn't seen in a long time. And he invites a party, doesn't show up for a long time, and no one knows really why they're there. And it was another project where I just got to spend some time with some good people, and we all got to get together in a house and make a movie, which, you, as I said earlier, I really, I mean, I just love the opportunity when they come up to get creative with a group of people and try and tell a story.
It's called How Do You Know Chris? Because nobody knows each other, is that one?
Yeah, How Do You Know Chris? Yeah, no one knows each other, and we're at a party. He's not there yet. He eventually shows up, and I guess it's a look at how and why everyone is connected to him as we talk to each other. It's an interesting movie.
My natural curiosity. Is it like a mystery, or is it just like a social thing, or how would you describe it?
Yeah, I would somewhere in between, sort of. It's a sort of drama, sort of mystery, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. It sounds sort of like a mystery because nobody knows why you're there, and he's going to make an announcement. Oh my God.
Yeah, well, you're not far off, actually. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those films also that's hard to talk about because you can't go too far into it because you'll give it away. So,
right.
You're on the right track there with that sort of mystery of why are we here and what do you want to talk to us about, and, you know.
That's cool.
It's a good little project, and had a great time with that crew. So, and looking forward to hopefully working with those guys again. And one other project I'd like to talk about, it with an old friend who I went to university with in Wollongong.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yeah. So I went to Brisbane and worked on a project with him, a movie called, it's going to be called Mile Creek, The Day of Justice. And this is some pretty heavy material, and there was a massacre back in 1838 in northern New South Wales, Australia, where colonists murdered 28 unarmed Indigenous Australians.
Oh, how horrible!
Yeah. So my friend Brad is putting together at the moment in post production a movie about this massacre. And the story of it is, it's the first time that Indigenous Australians back in the 1800s in Australia had legal representation. And so it's the story of really, obviously the massacre and then the two trials that came after this massacre. And in that project, I played John Plunkett, who... prosecuting the colonists at the time.
Oh, so you get to play a prosecutor.
Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was another project. It, obviously great to spend time with people who wanted to come on board and were passionate about talking about this sort of story. And, play a prosecutor. It's yeah, just one of those jobs you feel fortunate and to be a part of, and to also to get these sort of stories out there. You know.
Did you do a lot of research into both the gentleman who was the actual real prosecutor and the actual massacre itself?
Look, I did. Yeah, I did as much as I could. It all happened very quickly. We thought we were was going to be working on him on a different project that he hopes to be shooting sometime in the future, and then it all changed. This script came up, and he had the idea of me playing the prosecutor. And before I knew it, I was on a plane to Brisbane. But yeah,
wow.
I got into it as much as I could. You know, you look at the time you have before you're shooting, and you answer the questions that come to mind within yourself in regards to playing this. It was a great character to get inside of. He was a man very driven by fighting for equality back then, John Plunkett, on many levels. Yeah, he was.
Would it be a spoiler to ask about the guy himself, the prosecutor, what kind of a person he was? You just answered it before I could ask you.
He had the fight in him, and the group that got together. The main character in the movie was named Denny Day, and he was a policeman who really fought for this. And then John came and worked with the policeman Denny Day, who those two took down. Well, went up against the notion of representing Indigenous Australians back in 1838 against colonists was very unpopular. So they didn't have an easy time of it. You know,
it would be the same here.
an important story, but he's in post with that, trying to finish that movie off, and hopefully we all turn a corner during this year and we can get back to some projects being released.
Yeah, what do you think about the I wanted to ask you, because you live part of the year here in the U.S. What do you think about, you know, how it's what being handled about the, you know, I'm in California, so we're actually in lockdown already. Right now, the virus is, do you know that there hasn't been this kind of response since World War II internationally? The virus actually is almost equal to a world war.
Yeah, it is. It is. And look, I think we're all just taking it in, and you can look at the news 4 or 5 hours later and see the figures and how everything's changing. Look, I think, and you bring up the response after, you know, being compared to the Second World War. I think we all need to, look for some real information for a start.
Yes.
There's a lot of disinformation out there, and that's troubling and saddening in ways. And people have got their own reasons for that. But if we talk about it on a human level and the possibility of any human, but not just, you know, our close ones and family who could be affected by this, and we don't know, there's not enough information about the virus. Like, some people can be asymptomatic and have it and feel fine, and others it can have devastating consequences too. So as a group of people, humans, but people in a country at a time, you know, I just see we just sort of have one choice, and that is, I guess, to take it seriously and listen to the experts and really cut down our, and self-isolate, cut down our interactions with other peoples to give authorities, scientists a chance to catch up. And, you know, I guess that's how I see it.
There's also a 12-day incubation period. On top of that, some people show symptoms and some people don't. So some people might have it, and it might be in the incubation period and people don't realize that they have it. So I think that's why this response of isolation is being promoted, is because a lot of people don't even know they have it.
That's right. Mm. And we're very behind over here in the States at the moment. Europe, obviously Italy, who I know they've lost a lot of people in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
Just in the last day. So, and getting back to that information, and that information is out there, and going, well, hang on. So, people, let's take this seriously here, because I think there's a lot of people that still aren't.
Yeah. I mean, you want to distract yourself, but don't distract yourself so much you don't listen to what's going on around you.
That's right. I mean, it's not going to be forever. And that's how we all do this thing together and work with each other to move forward, giving the health professionals, I mean, they're the front line, the health professionals.
Yep.
Time, so they're not overwhelmed. I mean, like, if we can't just self-isolate for a bit to help them, the ones that are suiting up and helping people, then, you know, I think that's just not very fair, is it?
No. And although it's inconvenient and it's not pleasant, but it's also really important, you know, to try to protect each other and help the medical people to do what they do.
That's right.
You know, like you said, they're going to be suiting up in hazmat suits and all that, and I feel bad for them because those are horrible things.
Yeah. It must be. Well, I can't imagine what it'd be like to be on the front line working. And we don't know how bad it's going to get yet. I'll just say right now, I thank you to all the health professionals all around the world that are putting themselves on the line and doing what they can for everyone.
Me too.
Yeah.
This has been a hell of a year. I mean, the bushfires in Australia, all the animals that are now endangered because of it. You must be devastated. I mean, I'm devastated.
Yeah.
I'm not Australian. You must be really devastated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it wasn't long ago we were just, working out how to get people out of towns before they burnt. That was a really hard time. And I was over there for a little bit, and then I was over here, which was hard as well, to be a long way from home when a lot of, a lot of people were going through that back home. And then all of a sudden, as you say, we're in a totally different time with this virus.
It's so horrible. I mean, and Australia has the most amazing, incredible animals, and, you know, with kangaroos and koalas, even your spiders, who I'm not crazy about, they're unique and they're important.
Yeah, we got lots of them.
But the koala bears are really endangered now, and the kangaroos are endangered, and it's really scary.
Mm. Yeah.
So donate to that to help if you can, afford it.
Oh, absolutely.
And the people,
absolutely,
of course, who lost their homes too. That's devastating.
Yeah, it is. It's hard times. Hard times for a lot of people. For a lot of people this year. So yeah, it's I don't really know what to say about it. We just we do our best and try and look after everyone we can, open our hearts to them.
Yeah. Two more pleasant things. Do you have anything coming up that you would like to talk about? Any projects, even if it's delayed because of the virus and stuff, do you have anything that's coming up that you can talk about?
Well, look, there's definitely a couple of projects with some directors back home, a couple of films that I have been approached about, but we don't know what's going on there and where they're at in terms of the fundraising for those with the current shutdown of the entertainment industry. I sort of don't know really what's going to happen there. What has been raised and what sort of time frame where that money sits for those projects. It's hard to know how this is all going to play out, how long it's going to play out, and how long till we be back on set doing work.
God, I hope it's not a long time.
Yeah, me too. So yes, there's definitely a couple of projects, and aside from that, the oncoming auditions come up out of nowhere, and you go, "Oh, I'd like to do that," and you know, you wake up and you've got an audition to prepare. But yeah, outside of that, I've started work on a project at home. I've started writing, so challenged myself.
Oh, great.
I won't be going off to work anytime soon, so I've started writing a script at home, so we'll see how that goes. Not really ready to talk about it yet because it's new to me, but hopefully have a first draft in a couple of months.
Well, not talking about the actual idea, what do you think about writing a script? Have you done that before? Is this the first time, or have you stretched your writing muscles before?
Not something original. I did have a crack at an adaption of a novel a while ago now. Yeah, and but it didn't go so far as getting in the trenches and trying to raise the money to do the film. I'm still very interested in possibly making that film, but it did have discussions with the writer and was okay to have the rights. But that's sort of sitting there. I sort of had a crack at that. But I had this idea recently and went, well, why don't you just start writing? You've spent a lot of time on sets and in this world, you should be able to put something together that at least in its initial form, if it's a good idea, hopefully will inspire a bit of sort of, I guess, excitement in some other people that might want to come on board. You know, I think it's just getting that idea down in its rawness first off. And then I'll show it to some people and go, okay, you know, what do we think? Can we sort of get together and start trying to raise some funds to make this?
That's really cool. What do you think about going in a, I mean, we're creative people. Humans are creative. And there's all different kinds of extensions of creativity. And you work on your acting creativity, but now you're working on your writing creativity. It's a different muscle. Did you need any help, or is it something that comes naturally?
Look, until someone reads it, I won't know. I won't know. I think it's many different muscles. I mean, you get so single-minded almost about an acting sort of research job, about trying to make this character believable. Of course, you've got to branch out into his history and pull a lot of sort of different areas in so you believe it and everyone else believes it. But sitting down and writing, it's like you've written a scene because, you know, you're writing something that maybe I might play one of the roles and you go, oh, I haven't looked after that character for a bit. And you're trying to look after everyone. So, you know, a big part of it for me is if I want to write something, at the moment I'm drawn to writing something that's you know, everyone has a good time and not a heavy story.
We need that in the world.
that's right. And then I'm thinking about it like about the other actors. I don't just want it to be too centric around one or two characters. It's like I want to give great scenes to anyone that works on it, you know.
I think that's cool. I think that's great. Anything that stretches the muscles of creativity is beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And then the more I sort of live like that and stretch creatively, I do feel a lot better. It's an important part of living, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're coming to the end. I know that you're not really into social media. Is there any social media that you have?
Look, I've thought about it. As I start trying to get up a movie and stuff, I thought, get some social media. Look, I don't. I don't have any social media. I must be one of the few. But at this stage, I don't. So there's the answer to your question.
I always ask for the social media, but I remembered you don't have any social media, so I just thought maybe I'd ask if any popped up now.
Yeah, it's like that thing of time just got away. I mean, it came up, and I remember when social media just started, and I was working a lot on television back in Australia, and I went, I'm on TV every week at the moment. I think I'm not going to get social media at the moment. I don't need that. There's enough. It's socially enough. You know, I just went out for a beer and people would want to talk. So I remember how it started that I didn't get it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, that was a long time ago. And I'm like, oh, well, that's where I'm at.
Okay. Thought I'd ask. You never know. You could have, gotten the Facebook account or a Twitter account just to stretch your muscle, but it's cool. I mean, that's fine.
I'm getting a little bit interested in it. You know, I thought I'll just get through this script and then who knows, might dip my toe in.
Oh, that would be cool. Let me know when you do.
Yeah, I will do. Will do, Sherry.
Anyway, thank you very much for taking the time out to coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And I missed you. It's really nice to chat with you.
Yeah, nice to chat with you, Sherry. Hopefully we'll get to do it again before 3 years gets away.
That would be really nice.
All right. Well, you look after yourself, Sherry.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
No problem. Thank you.